Let us open our Bibles to the Old Testament, to the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 28. Last night we ended the year in God's house by dwelling on Genesis 27, and this year we hope to begin it by taking up Genesis 28. This is after Jacob, having deceived his father, has received the blessing from his father Isaac, and now he has to go on the run. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Paddan Aram unto Laban, the son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob's and Esau's mother. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Paddan Aram to take him a wife from thence, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan, and that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Paddan Aram. And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael and took unto the wives which he had, Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abram's son, the sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place, and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place, and put them for his pillows, and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set upon the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his place, and he said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, How dreadful is this place! This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillow, for his pillows, and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, If God will be with me, and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. The text for this sermon, this New Year's Day sermon, is taken from Genesis 28, especially the account of the Lord meeting him, meeting Jacob by Bethel. Let me read verse 12 again. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Dear flock of Dundas, it's not easy to go through life alone. It's not easy to be alone. And I suppose that everyone to some degree or another knows what loneliness is. Sometimes children don't want to be alone in their rooms at night. Others know it very well because of an empty place. And it's possible even to be surrounded by lots of people and yet to feel so alone. No, it isn't easy to go through life alone. But do you know that we don't need to go through life alone? That's what we hear about in this chapter. It tells of the encounter with God by the ladder. That's what you can write over this sermon, the encounter with God by the ladder. We'll see, first of all, a weary fugitive. Secondly, a revealing Lord. And thirdly, a deep impression. The encounter with God by the ladder. We'll see a weary fugitive. Secondly, a revealing Lord. And thirdly, a deep impression. When we meet Jacob this morning, dear congregation, we meet him on a journey alone. He's going to the land where his grandfather Abraham came from, and he's going in the exact opposite direction from Abraham. Abram went from Haran to Canaan, and Jacob is now traveling from Canaan to Haran. And Jacob, the traveler, is not going in peace. He's leaving behind his blind father, Isaac, whom he has deceived. He's leaving behind the hatred of his brother Esau, which he has felt. Esau, who had said that he would kill his brother Jacob when his father has died. And that's why Rebekah has spurred Jacob to flee from his brother Esau. That's true, there's another reason why he has to leave. Jacob must find a wife. He may not marry a woman from the people of Canaan, as his brother Esau had done. That's why he must go and leave everything that was near and dear to him and take his journey to Haran. No, that must not have been easy for Jacob. We know Jacob as a man who was a real homebody. He loved to be home. His brother loved adventure. His brother loved danger, being away from home, but not Jacob. He enjoyed the tent of his father and of his mother the most. And now he must leave home and he must travel some 1,000 kilometers on foot alone. How many dangers would there not be? Roaming nomads could attack him and rob him. Wild animals could prey on him. Maybe he would have to face hunger and thirst, but that was not the worst. The worst was that he was a deceiver who had taken advantage of the blindness of his father in order to deceive his father and to get the blessing so that he would be heir of the promised land and that the promised Messiah would come from his line. But now, even with the blessing, he's become a fugitive, having to leave the promised land which has been promised to him. He has the blessing, but he must go. His father said it in the opening verses, arise and go. And there is this urgency behind his departure. He has to leave, and he has to leave at once, and he has to go quickly. And yes, he has to leave a lot behind. What actually did he take along? Genesis 32 verse 10 will tell us, only the staff which he has in his hands. Of course, he's taking along something else too. His guilty soul. His accusing conscience. And he couldn't escape from that. And then on top of it, it looks as if the Lord has left him. The Lord has forsaken him. You see, if Jacob is a fugitive, and if he has to be on the run, and it's possible that there could be all these dangers, and there could be all these questions, and anxious fears, and doubts, but if the Lord is with you, then you can go further. Come whatever may. But the Lord is not going to go with someone like him, is he? Of course not. Jacob has made a mess of everything. Jacob's got a shady character. Jacob's a deceiver. And it must have been dark in Jacob's heart and life. He's done everything to get the blessing. He had even succeeded in getting the blessing, but the blessing could not prevent him from fleeing away now. And with the blessing even, he is not really happy. No, he cannot be happy. And so we meet him as a man without peace, as a man without a friend, as a man without protection, as a man without a future, as a desperate man, a miserable man with an accusing conscience. And maybe you understand Jacob a little bit this morning. After all, we're all on a journey. And there's a lot that we've done wrong. And we've left behind messes too in our lives. What black pages there can be in our life, and a new year, entering into a new year, doesn't erase that. And maybe you can say with the psalmist of Psalm 130, if thou shouldst mark transgressions, who can stand? If God, the all-knowing, the all-seeing God from whom nothing can be hidden, if he should mark, if he should tally up all our disobedience, those sins that we've done in the light and those sins that we've done in the night, those sins that we've remembered and those sins that we've forgotten. If the Lord should mark those sins that we've done once and those sins we've done repeatedly. If he should mark those sins that we struggled with a long time ago or those sins that we now struggle with, who can stand? And if someone says, but Pastor Jacob, he has received the promises of God. And so have we. After all, as children of the covenant, those promises have come to us too. Of course, those promises don't just need to be given. They need to be applied. Promises always need a fulfillment. The promises need to be appropriated. But if you understand Jacob, then you say, ah, true, I may have some promises. But when I see who I am before the Lord, and when I see my life and my sins, surely the Lord does not want to have anything to do with me. How can he have dealings with me? After what I've done, after who I have been, surely God is against me. And perhaps that's how this year has begun for you in your soul. Troubled, without true peace, without a true companion, without true happiness. But what do we see? We see that the Lord comes to meet Jacob. He will do as the psalmist says. He will stretch out his mighty arm to save me when my foes alarm. The work thou hast for me begun shall by thy grace be fully done. That's the encouragement for a weary fugitive like Jacob. That's what Jacob will see in our second point, a revealing Lord. A revealing Lord. In the meantime, Jacob is already several days on the run. We meet him about 90 kilometers away from home. Perhaps he's been on the run day and night for several days already. After all, there had been this urgency about his departure. And maybe he has not rested yet. Yes, there has been this urgency. And maybe he's at the point of exhaustion. But he arrives nonetheless in the vicinity of Luz. At the time of the setting of the sun, he arrives there. And Jacob decides to spend the night there. He does not have a soft pillow. He does not have a soft bed. His sleeping place is nothing more than some stones. It's true, his grandfather had been here too. And his grandfather had even built an altar there. Genesis 12 verse 8 tells us that. That altar that spoke of the faith of his grandfather Abraham. But when Jacob comes to the same place, he has to say that he has forsaken the God of his fathers, has been unfaithful to the God of his fathers. One of the stones he takes for his pillow, and then Jacob has a remarkable dream. A dream. Yes, dreams can sometimes be fearful. Boys and girls, maybe sometimes you've had bad dreams. Parents, maybe you remember your children in their young years, sometimes crying in the middle of the night and fearful because of a bad dream. Of maybe a bad dream about a bad dog or something like it, and the child is trying in his dream to run as far away as he can, but he cannot escape the bad dog. In our dreams, our anxious forebodings and fears take form, and we would not have been surprised if Jacob had a bad dream, a frightening dream. There's every reason for a bad dream because of his state of mind, filled with doubts and fears. But instead, Jacob has a special dream, a remarkable dream. God is going to speak to him. God, as Hebrews 1 verse 1 says, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers, and sometimes he spoke by dreams. Today, of course, we should not expect God to reveal himself in dreams. After all, Peter will tell us we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto we do well to take heed. That word of his, but in the days of Jacob, God spoke also through dreams. And in this dream, boys and girls, Jacob sees a ladder or a staircase that reaches from earth all the way to heaven. It's a great surprise. After all, we've not heard of heaven for some time. In these chapters of Genesis, we've heard about the deceit of Jacob and Rebekah. We've heard about the fear and trembling of Isaac. We've heard about the hatred and anger of Esau. But we've not heard about heaven. It's as if the patriarchs don't even think about heaven anymore. They've become so earthly minded. And maybe they also realize that what they've done by their sins, and that there's come this separation from heaven to earth because of their sin. After all, that's what we've done in our fallen Adam. We've broken with heaven. We've severed the connection between earth and heaven. We've broken with the communion of heaven. And heaven can only turn away from sinners like you and like me and like Jacob. The only connection that there could be between heaven and earth would be a lightning strike of God's anger to destroy and consume Jacob. No connection between earth and heaven. And you cannot set up a ladder to heaven. Yes, people have tried that. In the neighborhood where Jacob is fleeing to in Babel, they've tried to build this ladder, this tower reaching up to heaven. A massive tower, but it failed. It had to fail. I know people are still trying to build their own ladders from heaven. Even church people by nature, it's what we all do. We try it in different ways. Some try to build a ladder of doing their best and climbing a little rung of the ladder by doing a little bit better each day. And they're climbing the ladder of resolutions. I'll live differently. I'll do better. I will try to right my wrongs and redeem myself by this or that. And some try to climb the ladder of the five pillars of Islam. And others try to climb ladders to heaven through meditation. And people are trying to climb the ladder of success and financial and material prosperity and giving lots of money to charities, thinking that way they'll get a little closer to heaven if they're just good and kind people. And that's how we try to come with our ladders into heaven, closer to God. But it doesn't work. Each ladder that we make falls over. We cannot connect earth to heaven. It doesn't work. From below, from earth, no connection can be made with heaven. But what cannot be made from earth, what cannot be brought about from below, can be brought about from above, so that God stretches out a ladder down to the earth. God can do that. Jacob sees a ladder connecting heaven and earth. It's not his own doing. It's God's doing. This thing, this ladder is from the Lord Almighty. It is a marvel in our eyes. He makes the connection. In the midst of our sinful lives, He comes to restore communion. And it says He is great and gracious. So great in His grace that He wants to have dealings with sinners like you and me. Jacob sees more. He sees angels along the ladder, going up and down. There's something remarkable. He doesn't, right, boys and girls? He sees angels going up and down. He doesn't see the angels, first of all, coming down and then going up. No, he sees them going up and then coming down. That's how the Lord says to Jacob, you thought that no one wanted anything to do with you and that no one was looking after you and that no one was caring for you, but I, the Lord, care for you. And you are not alone and you are safe. That's why they go up first. Why then? Well, they first bring Jacob's need up to heaven, his cares up to heaven, his sorrows, his shame, his failings, his sins, and then they come down to bring God's comforts and God's care and God's protection. And you see, then it's true what the psalmist of Psalm 139 says, Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. And even if I flee, the psalmist says, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand should hold me. And if I say, surely the darkness shall cover thee, yea, the darkness hideth not from thee. And it says with another psalm, Psalm 91, He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. And it says, you thought you were the loneliest person and the most forgotten person in the world. Jacob, you are the business of heaven. Heaven cares for you. You're never forgotten. You're never alone. Day after day and week after week. What a comfort for this man who must have felt so lonely and miserable, thinking that there was no connection anymore with heaven, and then to see and to hear that God connects heaven and earth with a ladder. And along the ladder, the angels go up and down, bringing the needs of a sinful people up and bringing God's comforts down even to the heart of a sinful man. How gracious, how compassionate the Lord is, more than Jacob even knew. For Jacob not only sees a ladder and angels, he also sees the Lord. The Lord stands on the ladder, as the Dutch Statte Bible has it. Or the Lord stands above, at the top of the ladder. But the Lord wants to have dealings with Jacob. He has come to care for him, to provide for him. Can you understand that? That the Lord has concerns with Jacob? With a deceiver? Can you understand that? That the Lord would have concerns for you? And me? Why would he? Then you have to look at the ladder again. And you have to see the Lord Jesus. That's what the gospel wants you and me to see. That's what the Lord Jesus says to Nathanael in John chapter 1, where he's beginning to draw disciples to himself, Andrew and John. And one of the disciples whom he draws to himself was a little bit of a skeptic. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth, Nathanael? And the Lord shows that he knew Nathanael when he was sitting under the fig tree, and Nathanael is surprised. He thought he was all alone. But he wasn't alone. Nathanael makes this confession about who Jesus is, and then Jesus says, you'll see greater things than this. You will see heaven opened, and the angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. You see, Jesus is the ladder. He is the connection between heaven and earth. Through him there is access to God. After all, he took everything that stood in the way of communion with God. He took the sin and guilt upon himself, the sin that should shut heaven to you and me, the guilt that separates from God, and we can never open the way to heaven and the door to heaven, but God has opened the way through the ladder, Jesus. He is the ladder. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the only way to the Father. Peter will write about it too. He suffered the just for the unjust that he might bring us to God. And through his suffering and death, the door to heaven is open. The cross. Yes, the cross is the ultimate ladder on which he hangs and dies, so that he can say to a murderer on the cross, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Heaven is open to a murderer. Heaven is opened to a deceiver. Why would heaven not be open to someone like you? And you. And you. You know the price he was willing to pay. It meant that the contact and communion between him and his Father would be broken. It meant that heaven would be shut to Jesus, closed to him, and that he would descend into hell and suffer the agony of hell, to open heaven so that a Jacob-like people who take refuge to him may see heaven open and may receive an army of angels surrounding him. It's quite something to be a citizen of Canada, to have a passport, a Canadian passport, so that if you're in trouble, the Canadian government will do what they can if you are in a distant land. But Canada, if you go away on a trip, they will not send armies of soldiers to accompany you. But God's people have an army of heavenly hosts that are always bringing the needs and cares to heaven and coming with comforts down from heaven. Yes, our needs brought to heaven, our sin, our unbelief, when we don't know what to pray for as we ought, it's all brought to heaven. And heaven is open, and heaven is concerned with you, and you're never forgotten from heaven and never alone. And then a sinner like Jacob may have God back and may have reconciliation with God and communion with God and share in the salvation which he has purchased and may have access to God, may be brought back to God. And the care of heaven is realized. And this God begins to speak. Jacob does not have to draw his own conclusions and ask, but did I just imagine that? How God begins to speak, and Jacob may hear it in verse 13. I am the Lord God of Abram thy father, and the God of Isaac. He may hear, I am the God who has carried your fathers, and I'm willing to be your God, Jacob. And then he may hear the words that follow. The Lord gives promises to him. The first promise that the land whereon he is lying will be his. It's the promise of the promised land. Second promise, verse 14. Is a promised seed. And Jacob is not even married yet. But the promise is that his seed will be as the dust of the earth. And from him will come the promised Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And through the Lord Jesus Christ, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And then the third promise, not only promised land, promised seed, but the promised care. Verse 15, the promised care. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee, until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Yes, Jacob is going to leave the promised land, and he's going to live as a stranger in a distant land, but he may receive God's promises as he goes to that foreign land. It's a remarkable word. It says to Jacob simply this, whatever the future may bring, you don't need to be afraid. I will not leave thee nor forsake thee because of my ladder in Jesus. And the Lord will fulfill his word, not because of who Jacob is, but because of who the God of Jacob is. And on him Jacob can rely. Friends, you realize that you don't have to go through life alone. Because of the Lord Jesus, that's one of his names. Remember Matthew 1? Verse 23 is Emmanuel, God with us. Because of the child in the manger who went to the cross, and in him all the promises are yea and amen. And even if the way is hard, maybe it is hard right now. Maybe it will become hard. Young people, you don't know. But it's the God of Jacob with whom you can have access and who has promises to give. So that if the way is hard, he says, but lo, I am with you always. That doesn't mean that there will be no trouble, there will be no trials. There may be many hard days of affliction and trouble this year. The Lord never promises an easy way to his people. It can be that it will be very difficult. We may even feel, dear child of God, that the Lord has left us and that he seems so far away. We may say even with Isaiah 40, my way is hid from the Lord. But then we may hear from the mouth of the Lord. Can a mother forget her sucking child? Yes, she may forget, but I will not forget you. I am with you. Or the way may be hard. I don't know how hard it will be for you this year. I don't know maybe which way the Lord will have you go. And it can be as if the Lord is silent sometimes for his people. This word will have to carry Jacob for 20 years. For 20 years, God will not speak to him again. But then he will. And with these words, Jacob has to go into the future. And with God's presence and God's grace, he can go further. I will be with thee, and I will keep thee. Jacob may be afraid of his brother Esau. He may be afraid of what the future will bring by his uncle Laban. But he will not perish. The Lord will care for him. There's no need in Jacob's life for which the Lord does not have a promise. He thought he was alone. The Lord says, I am with thee. He was afraid to die. The hatred of his brother he felt. The journey through the wilderness. But the Lord says, I will keep thee in all places. We can have troubles, cares, and fears. But the Lord has a promise for each need in life and in death. It's a gracious revelation. On this first day of the year 2016, do you see something of it? A ladder. Jesus. The angels ascending and descending. And God at the top of the ladder who speaks words of promise to poor and needy people. And it makes a deep impression on Jacob. That's our third point. His deep impression. Jacob awaked out of his sleep. What an awakening it must have been for Jacob. And it's marked by three things. For one thing, an awareness of God. Verse 16. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and he said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I knew it not. Jacob becomes conscious of God. He senses the presence of God and he didn't know it. Maybe Jacob thought that God was only in the tents of his fathers. But now he sees with Psalm 139, whither can I go from thy presence? And he's confessing his ignorance and his spiritual blindness. He's been blind to heaven, blind to God. Is that not one of the things the Lord does when he begins to work in our hearts and lives? What's God begins to enter into our thoughts. We become conscious of God. maybe in that accident, and you were spared, and you realize God spared me, and God was here with His protecting hand. Or maybe in reading your Bible, maybe in church, God is in this place. You become conscious of Him, and He sees me. And it's with Him I have to do. And we see then how ignorant and foolish we were in our lives without a thought of God, without a consciousness of God. But that changes. How good it would be if that happens this year. If that grows in this year, this consciousness of God, that we can't come to church the same way because God is in this place. He's been reaching down to me. The ladder has come right to me. He is seeking communion. He's seeking my good. I may have access to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, it's not just an awareness of God. There's a reverence for God. Verse 17. And he was afraid and said, "How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." He's filled with this awe, this terror. No, not with the intent of wanting to get away from God and wanting to escape from God, just like those bugs in the summertime, that you lift up that log or that rock and those bugs scurry away and try to find another dark spot. Jacob doesn't want to get away. He is filled with a sense of awe. He's amazed. He's moved and he's humbled. Just like Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. Been an enemy of the Lord Jesus. But the Lord Jesus, in his state of exaltation, did not come and destroy him, but spared him. And Saul of Tarsus is humble to the dust, and he's filled with reverence, and he's filled with awe. It's like Psalm 2 describes. "Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling." How good it would be if he would give us more of that in this year. The awareness of God. The reverence for God. Also, when we come into God's house, God is going to speak. Thirdly, there's not only an awareness of God and a reverence for God, but a commitment to God. A commitment to God. You see him, boys and girls, he takes the stone on which he slept and he sets it up. And he consecrates it and he pours oil upon it to confess. The Lord met him in this place, and it's right and good to mark those places where he has met us. And then Jacob makes a vow that if the Lord will be with him, and if the Lord will keep him, and if the Lord will feed him and clothe him and bring him back, then he will be my God, and he will devote one-tenth to the Lord. And then some say, there Jacob goes again. He's bargaining with God. It's possible. After all, when the Lord shows something of his covenant of grace, we can go back to the covenant of works. And we think that it depends upon our resolutions, and we make promises. It's possible. But it's also possible that he genuinely commits himself to the service of the Lord, and that he has to learn what a promise breaker he is, in need of the promise keeper. And it will be 20 years before he's truly broken at Peniel, when the angel of God comes down the ladder himself and meets with him and wrestles with him by the brook Jabbok. And as someone has said, take Jacob apart by the river Jabbok. Yes, that had to happen. That the Lord Jesus would come down the ladder, leave the gate of heaven, and come to this sin-stained world in the fullness of time. He had no pillow for his head, and he would be banished from earth and banished from heaven and suffer the just for the unjust. Also for someone like Jacob. And through him the promises are yea and amen. You see why Psalm 146 says, happy is he that has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who relies on his word, who pleads his promises. People who are pilgrims through this world, but depend upon the promises of God. Will you go through 2016 like that? Busy with his promises. If we don't live by faith, and if we push the ladder aside and the word of God aside, then we can only go down and perish in hell. It's no small thing, young people. It's no small thing to leave church saying maybe later. It must be now. To push the ladder away, which is your only hope. No, you don't have to climb the ladder. But you do need to lay hold of the ladder, Jesus. And he'll bring the peace and the communion. And so to come to the Father and to walk by faith, hoping in the Lord till the end of the journey, when Jacob may hear, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And along the way we can sing, but thou, Jehovah, art shield about my heart, my hope and sure reliance. Thou in the hour of dread dost lift my weary head. Amen. Thanks and pray. O most good doing and gracious Lord, how often do we not forget to see thy hand when we lay down to sleep and to wake. For I was kept in his divine protection. The Lord was at my side. Pray that thou wouldst comfort thy people. Also in the midst of life's journey, as they stand at the beginning of a new year, to be directed to the ladder, the angels. Ah, the Lord who is above it all, who has given his Son to be the mediator, and who brings a people to God, so that though of themselves sinful, and sometimes such shady characters, yet thou wilt bring them where they will be saved to sin no more. Bless thy word also to the unconverted. Grant that they may be made conscious of Thee, that Thou wouldst enter into their thoughts and see a ladder has been sent from heaven to earth, and to take refuge by faith to lay hold of the Lord Jesus Christ and find in Him salvation that will bring His people safely home. And through this life, surrounded by Thy care, and also able, Thou art able to turn whatever evil Thou dost send upon Thy people in this life for their good, though we don't always see it. Bless Thy word. Be Thou the after preacher. Remember us further this day, and hear us graciously. We ask it in the pardon of our sins, for Christ's sake. Amen.